Representative Green.
Thank you. I appreciate the sponsor bringing this bill forward and the way she has gone about it, coming to all of us as early as last week and explaining what her intentions are. I did share a concern with her at the time, and I want to make sure I raise it in committee and make sure that everyone understands this, or if I don't understand it correctly, maybe I could be enlightened on this. But it seems to me that the change on line 52, and this is not a pleasant thing to even envision, but that the act of having sex with an unconscious person is now statutory rape. It is essentially a strict liability standard. If you have sex with an unconscious person, you are committing rape. Because we've taken any reference to consent out of that. Prior consent, implied consent, consent is no longer a factor. And if that's a policy decision we want to make, then we can do that. But I want to make sure that I'm understanding this correctly, because it looks to me now like sex with an unconscious person is, by definition, rape. There's no defense to it.
Could I defer that question to Donna Kelly?
I think we'd rather wait and hear from her during the public comment. Let's hear just clarifying questions at this point from the committee. You're free to respond, and then we can call in your
Point of order, wouldn't that be a, I mean, I'm asking a clarifying question. If the sponsor wants to defer to
an expert,
I don't have a problem with that. I'd like to hear the response.
All right, let's go ahead then. Could you identify yourself, please? I'll turn on your microphone here. Okay.
My name's Donna Kelly. I'm from the Utah Prosecution Council.
Very good. Go ahead.
Thank you very much for allowing me to be here and be heard. The subsection 5 of the Utah's consent statute is the only place where it requires a double burden, which is very nonsensical, because how can a victim express lack of consent if they're unconscious? How can a victim express lack of consent to an issue if they're unaware that it's happening? It's the only subsection of this statute that requires a prosecutor to prove that the victim didn't consent and these other circumstances exist, which are impossible to prove if the victim is unconscious. You cannot give consent to sexual activity if you're unconscious.
Right.
And so what happened by House Bill 74 is it clarifies what the legislative intent is. The legislative intent is to protect extremely vulnerable people from sexual attack. And so removing that consent language from that one subsection, just like it is in all the other 12 subsections, all the other 11 subsections, clarifies that our legislative intent is to protect extremely vulnerable people from assault.
Representative Green, go ahead.
So are you saying then that there is a overriding consent requirement that still applies, even though we remove that language in subsection 5?
My understanding of this statute is this defines circumstances in which there is no consent. That as a matter of law, as a policy matter, these are circumstances in which consent is not given.
Okay, so my interpretation then is correct, that sex with an unconscious person is rape.
Yes.
And that's the concern that I have. I don't know that we want to go there as a policy. I certainly understand with these vulnerable victims. I'm just wondering if there's a better way or another way to approach that so that, for instance, I hope this wouldn't happen, but this opens the door to it, an individual has sex with their wife while she is unconscious, or he, you know, the other way around, if that's possible, I don't know. But a prosecutor could then charge that spouse with rape. If theoretically, I'm not interested in, you know, whether the wife would have to come forward and make that allegation. I'm just saying, under that scenario, that would constitute rape.
This statute prescribes that people cannot give consent when they are unconscious or unaware that something is happening. That consent cannot be given.
I understand that. And that makes sense in a first date scenario, but to me, not where people have a history of years of sexual activity. It takes away the defense of implied consent or prior consent. Does it not?
Consent is a decision that has to be made at the time of the act. It cannot be. For example, if someone gave consent and said, I will have sex with you on Friday night, but then that person winds up in a car accident unconscious in the hospital on Friday, that other person can't come to the hospital and have sexual intercourse with that person because they previously gave consent. It's a decision that has to be made. The circumstance that you're talking about is covered by subsection 1, which is that the husband and wife have the wife has consented. What you're saying is the wife has consented to that kind of activity, so it's covered by subsection 1 in that particular circumstance.
A subsection that says the victim expresses lack of consent through words or conduct.
Yes, because if the wife expresses consent to that kind of activity while she's unconscious, then it would not be a crime.
Well, she can't express that consent while unconscious.
Right, and that's saying that a prosecutor would not file that case because she has given affirmative consent in that circumstance.
I don't see that as the same circumstance. What I'm trying to determine, is there any scenario under which a person could have sex with an unconscious person that would not constitute rape under this change?
If they factually had given consent to that activity, a prosecutor would not file that case.
So in other words, they would have to say, you have an open door policy. Anytime I'm unconscious, you can have sex with me. That would be the only circumstance?
It would be up to a judge and jury to decide.
Right.
And in every subsection of this statute, a judge and jury would make a decision whether or not that is consent.
I just think that is a sweeping change, and it may be result in a lot of unintended consequences. I certainly understand